You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everybody, it's Liza here. I just wanted to let you know we had a little bit of an audio issue when we were recording this episode that we didn't find until after we were done. It's just a little bit of an echo from our Skype session. Thanks for bearing with us while we figure out the tech aspect of recording on two sides of the country. And we hope you enjoy our 51st episode.
Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm just clicking my really long nails on a plastic water glass. It's not working.
I cheersed an empty wine glass with a cup full of pens. So welcome to my world. So, I'm Kimmy.
And I'm Liza.
And this is 51 First Dates. Welcome.
Welcome to episode 51 of 51 First Dates.
Woohoo!
Wow.
Yay.
We made it. It's actually, like, not really anything except, like, that it's 51.
Yeah. It's just amazing because we picked the super arbitrary, super embarrassing random number title, and now we've reached that number of episodes. So,
yeah.
I think even if I hadn't gone on all 51 dates, we wouldn't be at date – I'm sorry, if I had gone on all 51 dates, we wouldn't be at date 51 on this episode anyway.
No, because we were a little behind.
Yeah, because, like, you know, dating is hard, people cancel, et cetera. But friends of the pod, listeners, thank you for joining us. We love you.
Yay. Thanks for writing in. We've gotten, like – I don't know what it is. Like, I think it's probably summer ending and people being, like, back – at their computers and blah, blah, whatever. But we've gotten so many amazing emails and messages and comments in the secret Facebook group in the last, like, week. Like, we've had, like, this flood of, like, amazing date stories and just, like, comments and questions. And some people have suggested some really, really amazing episode topics that we're going to delve into in coming weeks.
Yeah, it's exciting. There's a lot of, like, serious things coming up. I know we need to address cheating in more ways. October is Domestic Abuse Awareness Month, and that was a really good suggestion. We're going to delve. Thanks for bearing with us during this change. I, Kimmy, am on the West Coast. Liza is on the East Coast. You know, we're just living that bi-coastal life-ish.
What is that 70s song? It's such a good song. It's a Peter Allen song. Do you know that song?
I don't know.
It's like,
but
total,
I trust
it's
you.
Like a complete disco era, like just like Studio 54, like flashy, dumb 70s song called Bicoastal.
Well, I want us to have like truly bicoastal lives one day and a TV show or something like that. And that will be the moment in the TV show will that music will play over it. You know, when you're finally bicoastal and you get to live in LA and New York because you're just so cool and businesslike.
Yeah, and you fly your little private jet that you like share with your rich friends back and forth.
Oh yeah.
No, I actually am scared of small airplanes, so I would just...
Yeah, I'm fine with JetBlue.
Yeah.
Those snacks. Oh. Snack situation.
And Tito's. No,
we fly first class back and forth.
That's the dream. Thing.
That's the dream. So if you want to contribute to our first class fund, please
anyway,
rate, subscribe, review.
Should we talk about what this podcast is about now that we've talked
we
about
should.
All our fantasies of what we're going to become?
Yes, I think we should. I think it's especially appropriate on the 51st of 51 episodes. Well, sorry, no, this isn't the end. There will be many more. But yeah, let's break it down. So what the fuck are we doing here, Liza?
So 51 weeks ago. That's the other thing is that next year will be the year anniversary, which is also cool. We did like a 50th episode special, a 51st anniversary, 51st episode special, and next 52 is going to be the year anniversary because we haven't missed a week in a year.
Oh, that makes sense. I was like, how did you know that? Did you remember 52 weeks in a year? Pretty cool.
Spoiler, I'm a math genius. No, I'm not. So 51 weeks ago, Kimmy was single, feeling in a dating slump, and we decided to, at her therapist's suggestion, she decided to go on 51 first dates. The therapist suggested 100, but that was too many. So
I was like, yep, I'm going to underachieve on this one, but I will err towards the side of 100, not towards the side of zero. You know, at 51.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, don't overthink it.
That's the theme of this pod. Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. So on this lovely date journey, she went on 32 dates.
I did.
Do you want to tell it from there?
I do. And can I just say that I love that siren in the background, which, like, I just moved to LA from New York, and we were always told people thought it sounded cool when you heard a siren. But I will say that I missed the sirens, sort of. Like, and I just felt a little nostalgia when I heard that siren. So
it's funny
because,
I did not even register that a siren. You know how you get that siren deafness where you're like, it didn't enter my brain that there was a siren.
Yeah, they feel much more like it's an emergency when you hear them here because I just think everything's spread out and so is sound or something. Who knows? But basically, I went on 32 dates. If you don't want this to be spoiled, if you want to like follow along from the beginning of my journey, kill me. nope, don't joke about that. But you know what I mean. I sound like a douche.
Hashtag
you
journey,
can go back.
Hashtag voyage.
Hashtag journey. You can go to the beginning. You can listen from the beginning. You can hear all of the things people got mad at us for along the way and things people liked us for along the way. You can hear all of the shit. It's all out there. Or if you like spoilers like me, who really like just started Sharp Objects because everyone talked about the ending and I already want to look up the ending because I just can't wait, but I didn't. But if you like a spoiler, here it comes. So basically at date 13, I had lots of dates and lots of experiences and lots of like, I was gonna say love, but that's not true. And at date 13, I met a cool dude, was still going on dates. And that cool dude turned into, hanging out forever and being patient forever as I went on dates, as the podcast grew, as I didn't want to disappoint the listeners, until I moved to Los Angeles for business school and kind of made the decision to commit. And date 13 is my boyfriend. And surprise, surprise, I asked him to please record his taxicab confession 9 months later of our first date because it was beginning of January.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
He said he would. He's on a business trip. I was trying to get him on the pod. So day 13, I think he still is not sure how, like, public he wants to be as human, which is super fair.
Yeah.
But he's going to send it to me. So the thing is I wanted to play it for Liz and I, but I don't think I'll have it in time. So we'll pop it in, either right here at the end, probably at the end.
Yeah,
at the end. If we get it. Otherwise, we'll cut this out.
Yeah, totally. We'll lead into it later on. So listen, listen on.
Find you a dude or a woman who is willing to put up with you through like 15 more dates of you talking about it on a platform, and then they'll still send you what you demand on a random Wednesday when they're on a business trip.
Yeah,
so
they should.
I said, "Where's that voice note? Where is that voice note?"
Wait, do you know the day of you and date number 13's first date?
A really good question. I feel like it's a single digit. I really want to check. I had this feeling it was the 4th. Here. I wish there was a way to scroll to the very top of your text conversation.
I know. It would be really convenient. It's just really funny because me and Jeff's anniversary is January 10th. It's such a random time. People are like lonely and wintry and hate.
I know it's
the holidays.
Before – I know it's single digits and I think it's really early because it was before his birthday in January.
Is he a Capricorn? 8th. Oh my God.
Yeah. I think it's the 8th.
I would never have guessed he was a Capricorn. Jesus Christ. Only because I've dated so many Capricorns and they're all
and you,
worst
no good.
People.
Well, secret worst person. No. He's a gem.
Also,
we like to call
no shade
people
to Capricorns.
Gems.
Capricorns who are listening. I also have obviously I really like Capricorns, which is why I've dated 3 of them.
Yeah, we've gotten hate mail over that's 1/12 of people.
I really love Capricorns and I can't stop I'm very drawn to them, even women. So, like, literally no shade to Capricorns. If you're a Capricorn, I probably really want to be your friend.
Yeah, and, like, date 13 is a Capricorn, and he was the standout date. He was saying he felt a lot of pressure about, like, leaving a voicemail. I was like, just be whatever.
Yeah.
Because he felt like, you know, after all this, there's some, like, oh, God, I better be the best ever. But, like, you know what? It's
– No, I understand, too. Jeff was, like, very surprisingly nervous about coming on last week. And then, like, about 5 minutes in, I could tell he was just, like, fucking loving it because he's, like, a big fan. Yeah. And he, like, just likes talking. But –
Yeah.
After
drinking his whiskey, he was loving it.
In the middle, we were off video, so you couldn't see this, but we were reading the worst first dates, and you had read one, and then I think you were reading one, and he poked me on the arm and mouthed, like, while you were reading, like, he mouthed, like, can I read one?
Oh, that's so cute. And then he did.
And then he was nervous yesterday. He was like, did people like me? I was like, I think it's fine.
Yes, all feedback, 2 thumbs up, oh 5 thumbs up,
LOL. A million thumbs up. But he was definitely nervous before. And, like, he was, you know, I understand why 13's. Can I shorthand it to 13?
Yeah, 13. Okay, 13.
13.
Okay, 13. I'm 13. So long story short, that's where we're at. We're recruiting new daters. So we've got a couple in the works. We'll start that process soon. We want a couple different daters, so we have different perspectives on daters. 2 or 3, we're figuring that out. And they'll check in along their journey of going on 51 dates. But should we dive into what we're going to chat about today?
Totally. So today we are going to talk about – we're doing a little, like, year in review-ish. Mm-hmm. Is that even what
we're
doing?
A year in review. Yeah, I really thought it would be fun, and we can, like, make a written pretty fun version of this. Maybe we can start a Patreon or something, and it can be special content.
Oh.
But I thought it would be fun to do how to, like – because a lot of you have done this, so this is probably a very unnecessary how-to guide, but how to create your own dating project. And I changed it from experiment, because experiment was always a weird word that we used to publicize this, but, like, we hated making people feel like they were, like, not genuine dates, because I was genuinely going on dates, even after I met date 13, because I'm afraid of commitment, and it took me a really long time to commit. but that's for another time. That's actually on, like, probably every other episode prior to this one. But yeah, so I thought, like, that would be very fun. And then we can also, yeah, we can just round up, because this has been, like, obviously it already kind of ended the experiment part for me, but, like, I'm meeting all these new people at school. Like, I met this girl through a friend at school this weekend who did, like, a 100-date dating project with an article for an editorial thing. Like, I don't know. It's definitely – and we were warned this has been done before, but I do think, like – it still changed my perspective entirely on dating, and was a really good thing for me to do. So I thought it would be – we thought, but I basically was like, can we do this? To make a little, like, how-to. Like, the things I would do if I was starting from the beginning.
Totally. Like, how to do it. And in – I don't know if it makes sense to do which order to do this in, but I also prepared a pop quiz for you that is a retrospective of your dating experience.
Let's do the pop quiz first, so I'm not nervous about it.
Okay. So I'm going to make one rule of this pop pop quiz. You can only answer something from date 13 once, only because I think it would be obviously, like, really easy to use it for every single answer.
For sure.
So.
What if I shoot my wad too early and talk about him first?
Save your wad. You got to try not to blow your wad.
Blow my wad, right, yeah. Shoot my wad.
Or, I mean, you know, there's lots of – some of these are date-specific and some of these are, like, experiment-specific. So
– okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'll figure it out.
And, like, let's go rapid fire. Let's do Inside the Actor's Studio style.
Okay, I'm ready.
Favorite moment on a date?
Fuck, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Oh, my God. This is so hard because it feels like so long ago.
I know.
Oh, boy. On any date or one of the first dates? Okay.
Any of the dates, but, like, in the moment. Like, not something that you look back on fondly, but, like, when you were in the moment on the date that you really liked. Or something that, like, charmed you, or something that, like, you stood out to you as, like, a good move.
I'm freezing only because I don't remember anything, because I'm turning into a grandmother with no memories.
No, you're fine.
Kimberly Ann Foskett. Oh, boy. Ugh, I have nothing. Favorite date moment. I needed to be pre-interviewed.
I know. I probably could have, like, sent you these. Take your time.
No, we can trip just have zero memories of any of the dates. Jesus Christ. I went on 32 of them, huh? What? There were some I would just, like, gush over after.
Or even like something you, a move that you were like,
oh,
that's smooth. I want to steal that. I want every guy to do that.
Oh, I just had a favorite moment of my own thing when I walked into the subway and walked out the other side of the subway because I've – and then I looked like a creeper. That was just fun because I felt like a spy. That was one of the later dates. Best move? Oh, boy.
We can come back to it, too, if you want.
Okay.
There's okay. more in the experiment – or in the fucking pop quiz.
Oh, my God. I'm already failing. I'm failing. Okay. Zero out of 0 points.
It's going to be fine. Okay. Conversely, worst moment on a date.
Two phone Tommy. His name wasn't Tommy, but he had two phones out. I love talking about it. Not terrible moment. Not a terrible moment at all. But
just like two phones on the bar while you were talking.
Two phones on the bar telling me I shouldn't do X, Y, Z with my life. Yeah. I don't even do it. I'm going to pull up that spreadsheet right now. That'll help me.
Oh, yeah. That's really smart.
Shout out to Angelica with a spreadsheet. Okay. All right. Now that I can see all these. Oh, my God. You know what I really just like what I thought was also a bad move was the guy who wouldn't drink on Sundays with me at sushi. No shade to not drinking, but then I saw him at Surf Lodge, like, partying it up not too long after. Just have a fucking drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
A first date. It was my first date of the entire experiment, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I loved. I loved my Bumble date in L.A. That was really fun.
Yeah.
Like, back to the best moment, just because I felt, like, so proud of myself that I was in New City meeting a dude. It was only date 5. The podcast was, like, just barely out, and he knew about the podcast, asked me about it.
And we went to this really place. Really sweet about it.
Really sweet about it. And then we went to two places that are right next to each other. Did I tell you? I forget if I did. That I went back to these places recently at UCLA.
Oh, no. That's awesome.
So, speaking of LA locations, because we always rate out 5 out of 5 dicks. And looking back, I rated Chestnut Club 5 out of 5. And the place right around the corner from it is called The Room. And I was waiting online for The Room, and it, like, all came back to me. And we ended up going to Chestnut Club. So, this was really fun because it was, like, 2-part date. He still insisted on paying for the beginning half and let me put the second half on the company. I don't know. Just lots of good smooth moves. Shout out to my LA date. It was just really fun and easy. And yeah.
That's a good one. I remember that one. Mm-hmm. That was like, I think, your first really good date of the experiment. And you were like, okay, this is like, now we're cooking.
Also, looking at the data, again, thank you, Angelica. Date 1, it's like, how many drinks did you have? Date 1, it's like 2. Because, yes, I had 2 sakes, even though he wasn't drinking. Date 4, it's 4 drinks at Broken Land, because that was fun and we got drunk. Date 3, 1 drink, because that was 2 phone Tommy. Date 4 was 3 drinks. Oh, on the top of the Wythe Hotel. This guy kind of later said, nah, to me, and then texted me a year later. Again, all of this I'm breezing through is on other episodes, so I'm just enticing you to listen to them. Sorry. And then date 5 was, how many drinks did you have? 5+.
I love it.
Because we just, like, number? Had a shot. Probably. Hopefully. Jesus Christ. Oh, there was another 5. What was that?
Ooh. That might have been date 13.
The army guy. I mean, he'll tell you because he said we got drunk. But he was drinking whiskey. But the army guy, when we went to these 2 bars, we ended up at Kettle of Fish. Like, we got drunk together. And then he sent me pictures of him shirtless on my cab home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, terrible.
But, like,
yeah, strange. Okay. Sorry. Let's keep going with the pop quiz and being terrible.
In that vein, what was your favorite date spot?
Favorite date spot? Excellent fucking question. I'm going to just keep thinking about it and talking this slow because – and it's not going to have to do with the date. I'm just going to think about it all in all. If you're going highbrow – the Wythe roof was cool, but it was a little douchey. Actually, I take that back. If you're going activity, the gutter for sure. And then, damn, it's so funny. My date with date 13 was not a place I want to go ever, except for then we ended up at Johnny's. And then I think I would just go with, this is like, if you're going more casual, I would say Spritzen House for a day drink. And if you're willing to go to Brooklyn, because it's literally not my favorite bar at all. But I think that's okay for a first date. Like, don't put pressure or taint your favorite place. It's just easy to get food and drink at. It's crowded. There are games. It's sort of outdoors if it's warm enough. Like, it's a chill afternoon spot. Or, like, this was, like, one of the later dates I went on. I went to Holiday Cocktail Lounge in the East Village, which is... it was redone, and I don't know. Some people are, like, over the service there, but I liked it because it's, like, super chill, and the drinks are good. And I don't know. There's some history there. Yeah. I don't know. Cool. I could do better, but those are what I'm just going to say off the top
of my head. I think that's amazing. Okay. What was your favorite date outfit or like your go-to date outfit?
Oh my God. I was just thinking this today because we have no pictures together. So I was trying to post on our social media and I found an old picture of us from 2013.
Oh my God.
But I was looking at our 51 First Dates Instagram and I was like, hot damn, I wore that like mustard sweater with the like with bell the sleeves.
Yeah, totally.
All the time.
But like the, yeah.
Yeah. Like a sweater date outfit is so fucking easy, so good. It like, I just, that was probably it. I like being comfortable. I don't dress up for first dates. Date 13 was like, I don't think I've ever seen you in proper heels, even now. He's just seen me in like wedges.
Yeah. I mean, I own one pair of heels.
I hate them. They hurt my feet. I wore them at a wedding and I ended up, did I tell you this at Millie's wedding? I wore them. We got nice and drunk. They were so painful. And we like parked my car to leave it there just because the Ubers were far and we were going to come pick it up the next day. And on the walk out, I like sat down in the grass with my vodka soda in hand with my friend Meredith. I took off my shoes and then I turned around and there was a cop car. And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, what? You're 21, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, you're not going to drive, right? You're going to get your sandals. I was like, yeah. And he was like, and you're coming back with that booze, right? I was like, yeah, okay. And he was just like, go, have fun.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like I just went to my car and I got my flats because I like couldn't really stand anymore.
It's horrible. Heels.
They were too painful.
The last time I wore super proper heels was almost a year ago at my niece's bat mitzvah. And I had a numb spot. They were like 4.5-inch heels, like the highest heels I've ever worn. I had a numb spot on the center of like the pad of my foot for like 4 days. I had to go to my massage lady to work it out. It was insane. Ugh. I was like, what the? And I got very drunk and danced a lot.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because like the first thing that for me that goes when I'm very drunk is like, can I stay super standy in a great way and not bump into things? And like in heels, that's quite impossible. So
yeah. And dancing in heels, you really like, I was just pounding the shit out of my feet. Like I like when I get drunk and I'm at an event, I like to hit the floor. So it was like, it was really, I have never had that where I had like a numb spot and it just wouldn't go away. And I was like, cool, gonna kill my nerve. Okay.
Shoes are tough.
Anyway, okay. What was the, on a date, what was the most interesting question you were ever asked?
Ooh. Like, kind of the questions we always tell people to ask. It was like your top, not just top three. Oh, your top three, like, guilty pleasure movies or something. Do you remember this? I remember the date.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, I had been with you, actually, right prior to the date. This is the guy who I still think is an enormous catch and want to set up with someone, but he wasn't into the podcast. And
it was in Long Island City, right?
No. Oh, he did ask questions, but this was like from – that guy was kind of like comedy world adjacent. I forgot about that date. This was a guy I went on multiple dates with. This was when we went to Ramona. You and I had been recording another podcast and you dropped me off.
Yeah.
In Greenpoint. But basically it was like he was like – worked at a hedge fund, so I thought it was kind of cool. I don't know. He was like, what are your movies that are like the guilt? He might not have said three, but I feel like it was like, what are your like – because he had such a good one. Oh, my God. I feel like we talked about it on the pod. I don't remember anything. But the ones that you like really truly love and love rewatching but are like – and he didn't say guilty pleasure, but just like you're kind of like embarrassed to like or whatever. And I would say like he gave whatever his answer was, which you don't remember. It wasn't like – something, you know when people ask you that, but then they give like a very pretentious movie, like, oh, that's my guilty pleasure. You're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like everyone knows that, you know, Coco was great. It's not a guilty pleasure. Like just because it's animated. You know what I mean?
Totally. So, and it's like the worst when people ask you those questions just because they want to say their answer because they have a good answer to something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's annoying.
Yeah. So like, it didn't feel like that at all. Oh, it was totally, like super genuine and but yeah, nothing that.
Okay, flip side, what was the most awkward question you were asked?
Do you have a podcast and what number am I? He said, what number am I?
Yeah, that makes like plenty of sense. Okay. All right, now these are the more emotional journey questions.
Okay, I'm glad I haven't answered date 13 for one of these yet.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. You've saved it for a good thing. So what were your like lowest and highest points of the experiment? Meaning, like, when was it that you felt the most negative about what we were doing? And when was it that you felt the most positive, if that makes sense?
Well, I'm looking at the spreadsheet yet again. Thank you, Angelica. Because while I've been resistant to, like, data collecting, it's very helpful to remember. So I think I was the most negative early on. I'm trying to think of which date, truly. Honestly, like, the first three. Because none of the first three resulted. Actually, the second date was cool. But even he, like, faded off. We went on a couple more dates. But they didn't – the first three confirmed my bias against myself. And they weren't even all people I was super into that I, like, wasn't enough. It's funny because I think some of those were, like, going into summer too. Mm. Or in summer, which is also interesting. Because while we started this podcast a year ago, I had – kind of been really worried about going on a date a week, so I stocked up on them kind of early. We recorded early.
We back recorded a couple episodes to release.
Yeah. So I feel like some of those, yeah, they were like all in summer, including the guy I then saw out east on Long Island, like partying away with another girl. Like the guy who was like, sorry, I don't want to ghost, even though he wasn't ghosting, and just kind of like was like got out of there. I just started feeling like, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong. So early on was definitely the deep darks. And then there was another moment, and I forget when this was, but it was when I was doubting our morality and doing this, because I ran into my first online date of my entire life on the street, and he had seen an article I wrote about my first online date ever. And I just felt totally like I was just like doing something naughty about like, because dating is so intimate. But I no longer really feel that way. I don't know. That was dark too. Remember that?
Yeah,
remember
I do. Yeah.
And then the most positive, I think it's been like, honestly, later and not, sorry, 13 rules. But like, honestly, just because more and more people are saying you guys are – we're not therapists, but that they're listening because we're helpful in some way to relate to, or like the listeners, truly, the more people who have reached out, that's been the high point for me.
Yeah.
You know, like that I, because then I get to think about how my mindset was like entirely opposite than it is right now. Even if I became single right away, right tomorrow, got broken up with, oh God. I feel like once I was ready to date again, I'd have a different perspective that could still be improved, but is really different than what I started out with, if that makes sense.
Yes, totally, totally. These – and we may have covered some of these last two questions, but – there again, sorry, two more questions. If this is too long, we can always trim it.
I love it.
Okay. So what surprised you the most in the course of your dates?
How much my first ideas of a person or, like, my idea of a person didn't always equate in, like, actual attraction or actual match, an actual match. So, like, an early date that I went on a ton of dates with was, like, everything on paper for me. But, like, I forced it for a while and it became clear that it wasn't. Or my camp counselor crush, like going on a date with him, like he's still like just all that put a lot in perspective because you're like, oh my God, I had such a crush on you when I was like fucking 14. And then, you know, we're at this Lionsgate movie premiere and we're just two people and we're hanging out and like he's cute as ever. But like we're just like, I don't know. So I think like just not, or even I say 13 in a lot of ways is just not the type of person I've dated before, though he checks a lot of the boxes that we've talked about. I like to check too much. I don't know. He's different.
Yeah, I think so too, in like a really positive way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Last question. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm like totally milking this too. Sorry.
Oh
I'm
my
like,
God. No,
let me tell you.
You know, I fucking love to play Terry Gross. It's like, Terry Gross has the life I want. I want to fucking live in Philly and have a sick bowl cut and like chill all the time. Okay.
And I love to be interviewed because I wish I was a fancy famous influencer of some sort. I mean, just kidding.
Rate, subscribe, review, guys. No, I'm kidding.
Rate, subscribe, review.
Okay, so here's my last question. What's the biggest thing you've learned?
This is hard to boil down. Bear with me. We can always cut this out.
Take your time.
I want to be like, and this is not the week necessarily. It is the week for it, whatever. I was going to say something like, just do it. Because, sorry, the Colin Kaepernick ad just came out, which is like, woo, go. Love Nike. probably going to get some bad reviews. But I just mean, like, the biggest thing I've learned is not really just do it. I think the most important thing of this was that, like, I was able to change my mind because I held myself to this thing, this goal. But the most important thing I've learned, it's not about me or you or anyone in dating. Like, I was able to see in other parts of my life where, even though I would take things personally, where it wasn't actually about me. But, like, it's not a reflection of you or what you're lacking or me and what I'm lacking. Like, don't want to be like, I am enough. But, like, it's not going on not having a relationship or having a relationship or all these things in between. Like, it really is not about you. It's about the match or the timing or the thing. Like, I couldn't be happier. Oh, my God. This is, like, 18 things. I couldn't be happier that I was single for as long as I was. I really value that because I feel like I actually did know myself really well as a person, and I let this thing, this cloud of I'm single, like, really – or rejections, like, really hang over me. I can't say it succinctly. I don't know.
No, I think that all makes a lot of sense.
It's just, it's not personal. It's not, and, like, also just don't put up with bullshit.
Yeah, totally.
Like, if you're not for them, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. And I think the, like, accepting, not accepting less than you deserve or different treatment than you want is, like,
yeah,
such an important thing I feel like I've seen.
Yeah, don't accept different treatment than you want. Because it's not like, well, I deserve this. Or, like, it is. But, like, I know how that can feel to be told, like, you deserve better. You're like, well, what the fuck do I don't know. I also, like, you know, lie in bed watching TV all day. Like, I'm not, you know, like, what do I deserve? But I think, like, what you want. Like, being honest with myself about what I wanted was important in this, too.
Yeah.
And then accepting only people who are willing to put up with a podcast. Person who was willing to put up the podcast.
Cool.
I did such a terrible job at that.
No, that was amazing. That ends my quiz. You nailed it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So, like, with everything we learned on this quiz, do we want to talk about, like, how to design – I like the word project over experiment. How to design a dating project for yourself based on what you need, based on what you're looking for, etc., etc.
I might pitch this to Elite Daily, even though I don't write with them anymore, because it would be fun to write this up and, you know, plug the pod again.
For sure.
I'll talk to my editor. So, yeah, it's, like, how to create your own dating project. So – Liza, I have some thoughts about this. What do you think the very first step, if we were to go in order, of, like, creating a dating project would be?
Okay. Well, so I think it's about – I have such a – because I had this idea earlier, and I was like, yes. I think the most important thing is finding your why, which I know that's, like, such a, like, self-helpy, buzzy, whatever. But, okay, backstory on this is that I have been, like, a low-key – almost hoarder, not really exaggerating, for most of my life. And I did the whole life-changing magic of tidying up a couple years ago, and it actually did change my entire life and, like, really changed my mindset. But the first exercise in that book is, like, why do you want to make your living space better? And it's like, because I want to have room to do my blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, cool, why do you want that? And then you write the answer to that. And it's like, why do you want that? And you have to keep going with, like, just keep writing on a notebook page, answering the question of, like, why every single time, which also obviously is a big thing in therapy, is, like, why?
Yeah.
Why? So I think that the biggest thing, if you have, like, the impulse to start a dating project, I think the most important thing is, like, find your fucking why. Why do I want to do it? Because I don't want to be single. Why don't you want to be single? Because it'd be fun to have things, you know, someone to do something with. Why? Or, like, because I want to get laid every day. Why? Because it makes my body feel good. Why? Because, like, I like to feel sexy. Whatever. Like, it can be anything. Like, even your dating project can, like, be about just going out and, like, fucking getting as much D as you want. Like, it can be whatever mm-hmm. it is to you. It would be really different. But I think the why is, like, so big.
It's the first thing on my list because I took some notes and we have not consulted. It says figure out why you want to change your dating life.
Look at that. Mind melts.
Can I add number two on our very millennial, like, TK reasons to blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of fun to make it a list. It helps me. I would say once you work on yourself and the why, I would say step two, get some perspective, only because my why came from my therapist. So whether that's therapy or talking to a friend and being like, hey, like, and being like, no, I'm not just going to complain to you about this guy. Like, really, a friend you feel like will actually give you feedback rather than just, like, kind of, like, being like, no, but it's okay. Dating's tough. Like, I don't know. I feel like I had certain friends, Liza included, who would be a little more like, maybe you're doing this versus this. Or maybe you want this.
Or, like, which is not everyone. Like, I feel like I can usually family. Count on, like, my sister to be pretty real with me. Like, you know, like, sometimes your family members are the people who are not afraid to be real with you because they're not going anywhere probably, you know?
Yeah, like that grandma who pesters you at every holiday, like, honey, why are you single? Be like, grandma, what do you think I should do about it? What do you think I'm fucking up? I don't know why I'm single. Or if your thing is like, why do I keep being in relationships? This is kind of going back to your why. Like, this dating thing doesn't have to be about doing more dates. I think for some people, I know a couple people who could probably do well to take a bigger pause and, like, do the opposite. And we had on 180 days of not dating. So. Totally. As a guest, like there's like getting some perspective as you like. So one, figure out why. Two, get some perspective to like help you figure out that why.
Yes, totally. Like an outside, some kind of outside perspective.
Source. Or I'm like, literally taking notes.
If you feel insecure about it, I think it can also be in the form of like, I'm a big fucking fan of self-help books. As I just mentioned, like just something that's like somebody else's brain.
To our there are also a lot of, I just want to mention, Lizzie, to you, that there are a lot of little comments in the Facebook group. I think we'll round up at the end, make sure we hit them all. But what do you think is next after we've decided why we're doing any kind of dating experiment or project, I'm sorry, and then we get some outside perspective? What's step three?
I think, like, setting your parameters. Like, I think it might be a, like, I'm going on 10 dates in 3 months or something, or I'm going on one date a week for a year, or like, I think figuring it like as part of your why and as part of the like interfacing with somebody else who's like got your back, I think you should think about the parameters as far as like how they relate to your why. So, you know, your therapist was like 100 and you were like, I don't mm-hmm. want to do that. What if I do?
Exactly. And I think I would just make this, we can get into the nuances, but I'd say set a goal that you can keep. We'll talk more about keeping it, but like set a goal that you feel like you could realistically stick to, because without a goal, this would have been really different. And I know I didn't stick to it every week.
Totally.
I also think what you said is wise, because my why came back to like, it's more than just finding a boyfriend. It's like changing something up. And then so making it a project too, not that you have to make it a podcast. And in fact, if you want to, you can just do it through us rather than starting another pod that would be our competition, because that's scary. But yeah, I think like then it became less, because we've gotten some people say like, you know, well, I just like I have a better things to do than go on dates every week. I'm like, that's totally valid and true. But for me, and so I think I did too. And I think I did for, you know, because that wasn't what I was prioritizing. But then it became like a project too. So I didn't feel like I was just going on these dates that were wasting time or, you know.
Totally. And I feel like it can be whatever works for you. Like I'm a big journaler. Like I feel like you could buy a special journal and you're like – and even do like a little bit of what Angelica did with our spreadsheet and like set up 5 questions that you answer yes. about every date and just be like this. Or – you know, draw a fucking picture of every date, or I don't know, like do whatever, like something I think mm-hmm. to mark each date. Or fucking dude, I know this is insane and like really immature, but when I've been in different like fitness or like diet health like phases of my life, I have literally given myself stickers.
When I love it, John.
I'll make like a little, like I'll take a calendar and I'll put a sticker on it at the end of every day. It's really stupid, but it made me feel really happy and it's really satisfying to fill it up. So like finding something stupid or like find a friend to do it with you and just like fuck
yeah, and you can set different goals. So I want to say, because I'm being so annoying about the list. So after you set your goal, then tell someone about it. That would be maybe step five, tell someone about it to hold you accountable. But then figure out, number six is figure out a way to track your goal, like Liza said. And this brings me to some of the comments on the stuff in the secret Facebook group that was like other looking for other ideas for how to track your date for people who aren't doing a weekly podcast, because honestly, you all held me accountable and made me want to not stop.
Stickers.
Yeah, I think stickers are good. I think spreadsheets are really good. No, I think stickers are good. I think spreadsheets are good if you're data driven. My fear was sort of like when starting, like I loved this spreadsheet for our data, but like another listener in the group mentioned like data analysis because she's in that field, which is really, really cool. But like date, location, ambiance, length, your feeling right after the date, the next day, the next week. I recorded taxicab confessions, which was my initial thoughts of the date. But which I think is all cool. My fear, just because of who I am, is like, oh, I'll make it too scientific-y and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, I just said that looking back was such a nice thing. So if that's good for you, filling out a spreadsheet, if spreadsheets literally make you want to crawl out of your skin, then I think something like a journal or even just like promising to like put an email to yourself or something or to us where you just reply to yourself like with your initial thoughts, right? Or keep a little note or tell that friend. You can even set a reward for yourself. I don't know if that's good.
I was just thinking, like, I feel like a good thing to do would be, like, yeah, setting either, like, a reward that feels like a really special treat. Like, I always used to schedule a massage for myself at the end of my finals when I was in college, which was, like, you know, it's expensive for a college student, but I was like, this is my thing at the end of the tunnel is like I'm gonna take myself to get a massage. It was like a big treat. So I feel like whatever that equivalent is to you, maybe it's like going on a vacation, being like, hey, if I do 10 dates in 10 weeks, I, you know, fucking, you don't have to go to Europe, but you could go on a long weekend somewhere, like treat yourself to like something that feels like special if you hold,
right, yourself, or like I like if you're doing the opposite and like trying to take a pause from dating, or like, you know, I think those kind of rewards can be really nice if you're coming off of a breakup but you aren't ready for dating. Like, if I spend, like, 2 weeks totally just, like, a month, whatever you want to take. Like, just doing things with my friends, like, for me, not putting the apps back on my phone yet, if that's your habit. Like, if you're the reverse of, like, you can set that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally. I don't – for sure. I feel like this might sound – this whole like, how-to thing – runs the risk of sounding like we're saying everyone should do this.
No.
Like, we're not saying that. like if this is like, if you, like Kimmy did, found yourself in a rut, which, I mean, I think a lot of our listeners come to this podcast because they find themselves in a rut and because they identify with like feeling like dating's really frustrating and hard and confusing, and they like get stuck in the same pattern. So this is all advice for like, if you want to shake up your dating game, if you want some kind of difference in your routine, and if you want, you know, some accountability or whatever, or like a different way to look at dating as like something more intentional and more like you are going out and like making what you want to happen rather than like waiting for something to happen, which I think is how a lot of people feel about dating and finding connection, blah, blah, blah.
So I think, and that's why, like, the early stuff is so important to this, like, how-to. Maybe more, like, if it was, they were a pyramid, they'd be the building blocks, because, like, my therapist told me I needed to switch it up, and that while I thought I was going on a lot of dates, I actually wasn't. I was, like, dating people, but I wasn't, like, doing dating like other people did, so it was about change. I also had this thought, because I'm seeing a lot of things in the groups, right? So tracking your goal, all great, but, like, once you actually get on the dates and you're tracking the goal, maybe you set up a reward for the goal, whatever, how do you keep things casual? How do you keep it going? How do you not just stop? That's why 51 dates was really good for me, because it meant that I was going to keep dating, even though I met people I liked. And I think, like, I would not have gotten to date 13 had I done my normal type of dating. Because I had gone on more than one date with people prior to date 13. You know what I mean? Like, it was really easy early on for me to just go with what was working, sort of, and then be so much more frustrated. I would say if your goal is something like mine was, which is just to get out there and date a lot, stick to that. So, like, if your goal is 3 months before you commit to anyone. Make it 3 months. Like, the right person will wait around. Of course, totally. Things come up, blah, blah, blah. Like, but really nerdy world. We were learning about implicit bias and organizational behavior at business school. And we were talking about tripwires, like things to like, I think that was when we were talking about it, whatever. But like a tripwire, meaning set yourself up something that you like, if you start doing the thing, so you can like trip over it and self-correct. You know what I mean? Something that you know, like if you know you're going to start slipping, like because you meet someone and it goes really well, set like a tripwire, like, but I have to go on a second date with everyone for these weeks or something like that. Do you know what I'm saying? I can't think of a good one.
Or, yes, totally. Or just be like, I am not going to stop going on dates until I become exclusive with someone, and I'm not allowed to become exclusive with someone until 2 months from mm-hmm. now or something. Giving yourself some parameters, like being like, if you've done the earlier steps and you've found your why and you've talked to somebody else about it, blah, 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 you've done some thinking about like why you're in the habits and the patterns you are, try to set some boundaries for yourself or some parameters for yourself. That's like, how do I like make sure I don't fall into old patterns? And I think that like, it's such a good exercise to like, always go on a second date unless the first date was horrible. I mean, like if your first date was good, obviously go on a second date. If your first date was average, mm-hmm. go on a second date. If your first date was awful,
don't. And weird, yeah, there were don't. A couple questions. There was how to keep things casual when going on a bunch of dates. How many dates do you go on before you figure out if a middle of the road guy is worth pursuing further? And then how do you balance that? Like, when do you know when to go on a second date while juggling other first dates? I think that's like commitment, but what Liza said is right. Say, like Danielle Prescott said that early on. She was like, if someone asks you out, say go on a second date. My therapist was like, you should try to go on a second date with all of them unless you have a terrible experience, like even if you're asking, which is why at the beginning when I wasn't getting second dates and I was definitely asking sometimes or subtly hinting, I was feeling kind of down. So I would say like for this, yes. a specific experiment like ours, one of the steps is just say yes to the second date. I really think it's way too easy, especially totally. If you're reflecting and writing down data and how you felt, like to just like go off. Like a first date is really weird. Say yes to second dates.
Totally. I mean, your first date with 13 was good. Mm-hmm. It was a really good date, but it wasn't – you had many really good first dates and you didn't realize right away that this was a person you connected with on 100%. A much deeper level and there was potential for something really lasting. And I think that like of everything is the best example of like – go on the second date because you just don't know. Mm-hmm. It takes time sometimes. Like, I knew Jeff for 3 years I knew him for longer than that, but I was like in the same school program with him for 3 years and we didn't.
Yeah, connect. It's true. Like, and then to go along with that, I think the next step, because some of the other questions were like, how do you like deal with that? How do you tell people that you're going on other dates? Again, I'm biased by New York dating, but like just assume that people dating other people is the rule. If someone is sending like butthurt texts, like, or the conversation comes up, be honest. Like, honestly, Liza, this is like the book that we always reference but have never read called The 4-Man Plan, wherein.
Maybe that should be our year anniversary marker, is that like we each order a copy of this and read it and see what the fuck.
Right. Because I inherently have a problem with it's like, this is the way to get your man. But I actually don't even know if that's what it's doing. But basically, yeah. Liza and I were on a set where this girl told us about this book and how it had changed her life. It was like you date 4 people at once. You don't. I think it – because that's the other thing. It, like, tells you what to do, whether to have sex with them or not. I think you don't have sex with them and you're really honest with all of them that you're dating multiple people. And then, like, it's almost like last one standing wins. Again, we haven't read it, so that could be completely inaccurate. But I remember liking the idea at the time. And I will say the fact that I kept going on dates, like, let's just be real, undoubtedly made me more attractive to 13 or other – I think. Some people didn't like it, but I think the fact that I wasn't just like, I'm here all the time – was helpful.
Well, I think it's great in so many different ways to date multiple people at once. And again, that can mean anything you want. If you feel uncomfortable sleeping with multiple people at once, that's cool. If you want to sleep with multiple people at once, that's cool. Like, do what feels right to you and do it safely and do it like responsibly and like fucking rock on. But I think that when you're dating multiple people at once, it does become this like almost like pressure cooker of like narrowing down what you like and what you don't like and what you want and what you don't want, because someone is going to be very like inevitably one person is going to be treating you a little bit more the way you want to be treated, or giving you something that you know you need, or you didn't know you need, but you realize you need, or whatever. But on top of that, I think it's really powerful. Like, and to answer the reader question, when people, like, the way to broach that with other guys is be like, oh yeah, I'm dating. Like, I've been single for a while, or I've been in a relationship for a while, and I'm just like really exploring dating and enjoying.
Yeah,
that
don't apologize. That's maybe the rule of this. Don't apologize for dating other people, but be honest.
Don't apologize.
Because
totally. And like, you don't have to get into specifics. You don't have to get weird. Like, if you have a date and someone texts you and asks you what you're like, if you want to go to dinner tonight, just be like, I'm so sorry, I have plans. How about next Thursday or whatever? Like, they will be intrigued.
I know.
That's a reason to do it.
That's true.
But also, like, it's really powerful to see how people react to that. Because if people are jealous and weird and butthurt and sending you shitty texts, fucking next them now, because they
and I've literally been that butthurt person, like, and it's like I wish I had known to just get out. That's where, like, there's at, like, 6 months into something, you're gonna know if you're leading someone on. Like, but I appreciated that day 13, because at the end of the day, doing the podcast is a part of me. Like, that's the kind of person I am. You and I were gonna maybe not do this, but do some form of it. Like, I couldn't date someone who would be totally like, no, I can't understand it at all. I think he got to a point where he was like, I need to take care of myself. Like, it sucks that when you say you're busy at night, I don't know if you're going on another date. Like, it got to a point, which is fair.
Totally.
Like, he said, actually, around your birthday, Liza, he was like, I need to, like, really call it quits or commit. Like, especially with the move. He was like, Memorial Day, he was like, I need to take care of myself, which he didn't say to me ever, but it sort of came up. I don't know. Anyway, I just think, like, don't – apologize for dating other people, but be really, really honest about it without, you know, being like, I gave a blowjob last night to this guy and I'm on a date with you tonight.
Totally.
You don't have to say that.
Well, also, like, I think that you can – there's a difference between someone being – when I was saying, like, someone should be cool with it, I mean, like, there is a big difference between someone being passive-aggressive or possessive – or rude about it, or like jealous, and someone being like, hey, genuinely, I like you and I don't want to date other people. Or like, I'm going to need some kind of indication from if a guy that you're dating who knows you're dating multiple people says to you like, hey, I like you, I feel strongly about this and I need some indication either way, that's a good sign. That's a fucking adult, you know? Like, it's the like, Well, I don't even know. I didn't even know where you were last night. So how would I? It's like the gripey, shitty shit that, like, you don't need. And I think is a sign of, like, someone who's insecure.
Two more things, maybe to round out the list.
Yes.
I would say this kind of could go up further on the list, but, like, set your goal, track your goal. Also, don't be too hard on yourself if you miss a week of your goal. Don't do the thing I always do where I'm like, I'm not eating carbs all week. And I have one carb and then I eat all of the carbs. You know, like, just, like, fucking keep going. Keep back on the train. Like, I missed weeks of going on dates. It wasn't the end all be all, and like, I had a commitment to all of y'all and I had a podcast, but like, it's okay.
Totally. And be like, I think also in that, under that same umbrella, is like, treat yourself like you treat your friends. Like, be nice to yourself. Like, be generous with yourself. Like, recognize where you are making effort, and if there's any, if you ever feel like you're failing in some aspect, like, you're probably not.
Yeah.
Give yourself a break.
And also be ready. And this could be the final step. Like, know when, like, I think you should, like, not immediately, like, stop going on other dates just because you meet someone who you really feel fireworks with. But, like, then again, stranger things have happened. So, like, that might be from my experience that I'm saying that. When the time is right, though, I didn't do all 51. Like, know that you don't, it's not just about, like, I did the thing. Because even if you don't get into a relationship and your aim was to get into a relationship, but you just realize, fucking don't like dating. It's making me, like, online dating is making me feel like shit every week. Bye. Yeah.
Totally. And, and, like, you know, step 11 or whatever number we're at, like, fucking let us know how it's going, because we're always curious here. We love hearing from people who are doing their own versions.
Wait, Liza, I have an idea, but it requires a lot of coordination on our part, and you might think it's terrible. Based on the different questions here and the eagerness of some people to track it, what if we did, like, a 13-date challenge that we basically had anyone who wanted to participate, like, fill out a Google form or something – and then with Angelica, because she's loves tracking data. I'm really, her comments are in here. Like, we figure out a way for people to, like, hold themselves accountable. And then we, like, could, like, look at the data across the board or something. Like, just 13 dates because of date 13. I just, but it could be, like, five. It could be shorter. Just some way to dip your toes into the pool for any listeners who want to do, like, more dating and would want to do, like, a group experiment of some sort.
I think that's great. Like, I feel like we should start with five.
Five is better.
And do a, like, if it goes well, then be like, great, we're going to do a longer.
Yeah, we could do something with, like, more feedback. Like, again, I don't want to, like monetize everything. And we won't ask you to – this experiment will be an experiment. You do not need to pay. But I was just thinking there are ways to, like, sponsor this or, like, get more people involved and, like, I don't know, like, develop a really cool community.
Yeah, we'll do it like a charity.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah, like, if you want to – because we could, like, yeah, give our own feedback. I don't know. Like, that could be a really cool thing. And then any listener – and you wouldn't even have to, like – we could fill out a form for if you're interested and you could give your email. And it could be a thing where, like, only Angelica and us, like, see the data and you can – give it under a pseudonym if you want to be really like, but we can use the template I was using and you could fill it out for five dates over like, I want to say 5 weeks, but I think if we can make it even tighter, it would be better, like 1 month. I don't know. It would be really interesting. Well, listeners, let us know.
Let us know. Join the secret Facebook group. If you don't know how to do that, go to Facebook and type in 51 First Dates Podcast Secret and it should pop up and request to join. Someone will add you. So join the secret Facebook group and we'll start a thread in the secret Facebook group, like gauging interest for a mini experiment that we all kind of track together. And the secret Facebook group, plug, is like a really great, nice, cool, closed community. Secret group on Facebook, if you don't know, which you probably do, is one where you can post anything and no one in your feed can see it. Only other members of the group can see it. So it's like we have a lot of really awesome people there who are sharing dating stories. Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are hard. People are asking for advice. And like, honestly, people are fucking awesome. Everyone's really supportive, really cool, really encouraging. And so like, let's try to run this mini experiment through the secret Facebook group. So join today if you're interested. And today, whenever this podcast comes out, whenever date that is – we'll start a thread and just comment, you know, like.
Because someone posted today or yesterday, like, about setting each other up, which I'm totally pro because our community is so cool. Just be safe. We'll just be careful because it's the internet. That's my only thought. But I obviously know the people on that thread right now aren't, like, you know, murderers. And we're not even a big enough community for that. I just – that was my one worry. But aside from that, I thought it was really cool that, yeah, we do have this, like, group of – 729 members. It should be bigger and there should be 729 reviews on iTunes, but I'm just a brat who's going to keep whining about that. But no, people for you to use and to hold you accountable, like people for you to, like a community, like whatever a community means to you, a helpful community, I hope. Like we have one. So let's try to think of more ways to use it. And this could be one. It could be.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. And while you're joining the secret Facebook group, you might as well follow us on Instagram at 51firstdatespod.
Well, God.
You might as well email us your worst just date stories. It doesn't even have to be a first date. We got a great fifth date story today that we're going to
Totally. I know. I guess we could, what are we at? I know. This was kind of a long one. Let's save it. Let's save it for next week. But we'll do it next
week. We'll save it. Okay. Like, email us your weird, bad, great, bizarre date stories or just any thoughts feels
any friends who are interested you want to nominate for being a dater. We're still figuring out certain aspects about that. I'm sounding so official and boring, sorry guys.
Oh, it's fine.
This is our wrap up.
We have to do our plug. Happy 51
episode. Yay, thank you all. We would not be here without you. We definitely would have quit a long time ago. So, yeah, thank you so much.
You guys are amazing and give us so much happiness. And we are so proud and thrilled with the community that this podcast has created.
Love you so much.
Love you guys so much. It's been a
treat. And as always,
and
go on a date if you want to. Yeah.
Yay.
or don't. Or quit dating.
Doesn't matter.
But do something. Hold yourself accountable for something fun. I don't know. Okay.
Whatever you need.
Or go on a date. Bye.
All right. Love you. Bye.
A big shout out to Anthony from 5 Ohm for making us sound really good in post. And you should check 5OHM out online at 5OHM.com.
And that's spelled F-I-V-E-O-H-M.
OHM.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.